Those that are staying with us, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 42. Well, good morning. It is a great day. I'm saved. I'm headed for heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm in the house of God with friends. That's a good day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand, and I will read the first verse, and you read the one after, and let's read the first 17 verses of chapter 42 of Genesis. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?"
And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die."
And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt.
But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob's sent not with his brethren, for he said, "Let us peradventure mischief upon him."
And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan.
And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth.
And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly unto them, and he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food."
And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not.
And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, "Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come."
And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come."
"We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies."
He said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come."
And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not."
And Joseph said unto them, "That is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies.
Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come hither.
Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies."
And he put them all together into ward 3 days. Let's pray. Lord, bless us this day. Help us to understand your word. Help us to get a blessing from your word. Help us to grow from it. Lord, draw us closer to yourself. Make us more thankful, more praiseworthy. Give us more faith. God, help us to do your will, whatever that will be. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Instead of starting with chapter 42, verse 1, I want to go up one verse. Verse 57 of Genesis 41. "And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands." You know what? He is taking care of Egypt. And he does a great job of taking care of Egypt. He charges them 20% of whatever they grew. And that's what their tax was that they had to give to the Pharaoh. And then when they ran out of money, you're going to find out later on, he's going to charge them for their lands. And then when he buys the lands for Pharaoh, he's going to charge them for themselves, and they're going to become Pharaoh's slaves. So that's the way it's going to work out. It was a big, big famine. Now, when Joseph told about the famine, he just talked about it being in Egypt. Just the famine was in Egypt. And he was telling Egypt how that they could survive and how they could do well. And he outlined the whole plan unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "Well, where can I find a smarter man than you?" And so He went from one day after 13 years of being a slave and a prisoner, he went to the prime minister of Egypt. Absolute top power. Pharaoh did not even give him a hard time. He was like a father to Pharaoh. I don't know how old Pharaoh was, this Pharaoh. He might have been a very young kid. They could be made a king or a Pharaoh when they were 5, 6 years old or even babies sometimes, and somebody reigns with them. But at any rate, he makes the statement he was like a father to Pharaoh. And that's a beautiful thing. He had an awful lot of power. So when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. Now, what are you going to do when you get hungry? We're not in any problem right now. Most of you got enough in your refrigerator the last 2 or 3 weeks anyway. And then some of you got, you know, some of you guys that are looking, what is it, call them preppers, that are preparing for the time. You got your bomb shelter out in your backyard, and you got your stock full of food, canned foods that'll last for years, and all this stuff. We're doing pretty well. But that's not everybody in the world. You know, it just really touches me when I see these thousands, millions of people that have been run out of their homes. And they're refugees. They don't know where their food's coming from unless somebody gives it to them. And, of course, I'm thankful for all the people that give and the things that they do like that. But that's tough times. Tough times. Well, the world, not just Egypt, the whole country around about is in a famine. I mean, Jacob's in a famine. Yeah, back where they're not raising much crops. Things aren't working out well for them. And so here we have Joseph when Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt. Well, Jacob says, I hear. Now, he's got a big family. He had 12 sons and some daughters. And we only have one daughter listed, but there's another place where it tells about all his daughters. And it doesn't give their names. So he didn't just have maybe one daughter. At any rate, he's thinking about how we're going to live. You got a lot of people to feed. Well, it's a different thing. Now, when I was young and a little wild and smart aleck and whatever, I could tell a boss off. So what? Who cares? I don't have to work for you. But then I got 5 kids. And you're a little more careful how you talk. You want to keep that job. You don't want to be the biggest smart aleck in the place, you know? You want to keep it because, hey, you got to pay bills. You got to pay bills. You know what? As old as I am, those bills are still coming in. They are. Anyway, Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? I see you guys looking at each other. I know you guys read each other real well. They probably did. As you know how you do with your brother, your sister, or somebody in your own family. You don't even have to say words sometimes. It's just a certain look or something else to bring somebody in on it. He's watched them looking around, and they're all worried. Because, see, they're not kids anymore. They got family. They've got sons and daughters. And they've got families to take care of. And they're out there plowing the fields, and they're out there planting their stuff, and it's not coming up because it's a drought in the land. And it's a drought over a lot of places. Now, we down here in South Texas know a little bit about droughts. I had more fun. When I was dating Verlene, it was during the 7-year drought in the 50s. We never got anything interrupted by rain. We could just do like any kind of plan you wanted. It wasn't going to rain. It hadn't rained. Medina Lake was drier than it was here lately. But sooner or later, it rains, doesn't it? Praise the Lord for the rain. You go out there and look at those beautiful crops, and you say, wow, that looks good. Well, he learned that there was corn in Egypt. Now, why don't you get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die? It's a life-death situation, the amount of food that you have, the amount of water and the kind of water that you drink, and other situations. You got a famine, you got troubles, and you get people sick. Well, they get all sorts of diseases and different things pass and people die. They have hard times. Well, that was exactly what the situation was in Canaan. I have heard that there is corn in Egypt, okay? We got money. Now, there's one thing about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They're not poor men. These guys are rich. They own big herds. They own a lot of cattle. They have workmen. They live in lavish tents. They talked about Abraham and about Isaac. These are rich, rich men. So what's a little money to get some corn? When your family is hungry, well, you'll pay through the nose for it if you have to. And so that's exactly the situation that we find them here. Now, all the countries around Egypt are coming into Egypt to buy their corn. Okay? And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren. For he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Well, now what's the problem with Jacob? Well, his love of his life was Rachel. His other three wives were a convenience, but they were not the love of his life. Even though the one he had to have was Leah, because that's where Judah was born, and that's where Christ comes, through the line of Leah, not Rachel. But Rachel has two children. One of them is Joseph, and because he was a favorite for a long time. And then she died giving birth to Benjamin. So here's this man, he's getting old, and he has the remembrance of the love of his life, Rachel, and she's dead. And now then they've taken Joseph and he's gone. He's been set off and he thinks he's killed. They brought back that coat of many colors with the blood of a lamb all over it. Well, they didn't have forensics in those days, and that blood looked just like human blood. And it does. Blood's blood. They don't bleed green like the Vulcans or some of these Star Trekkies. And I'm not a Trekker. I just want you to know. I can watch any show for a while, but I'm not thrilled with any of them hardly. But I love the cowboy movies. I'm a John Wayne cowboy favorite. That's the way it goes. Sorry about that. Now, Benjamin didn't go. He sent the 10 older brothers. He still got Benjamin at home. Why? He's the last of Rachel's children. All he has left of Rachel is Benjamin. And so he thinks, well, you know, I got 6 or 7 from Leah, different amount of children from different wives. But Benjamin has become his favorite. Now, it doesn't seem that Benjamin had near the talent that Joseph did. Not to me, at least. He's a normal kid, normal boy. Where Joseph, or a man from the word go, there's no sin, there's no problem. The guy's a hard worker, he's intelligent, he can run things. Probably was running things for his daddy when the brothers were jealous of him. And there's another reason why the brothers were jealous of him. Billy mentioned it, I think it was Wednesday night, that the world hates you if God blesses you. Do you know that's true? The world loves Christmas, but it doesn't love Jesus. Now, you think about that. That's the truth. You ought to know it. The world loves Christmas and a big party and a big deal. And anything they can throw a party and drink to and do all sorts of stuff, but they don't love Jesus. You preach Jesus to them. In fact, I taught school 20 years, and they knew I was a preacher. I was a preacher openly. And when the kids would have to say a prayer at an assembly, all the kinds of teachers sent them to me. He's a preacher. He can pray for you. You know, he can tell you how to write this prayer up. But they didn't want them praying them in the name of Jesus. There have been court cases over this at ball games. that if somebody prays in the name of Jesus, that offends them. I remember one time Billy Graham, right after 9/11, he prayed in his name. He didn't mention the name of Jesus Christ. His son did. His son on the outside with the national television, he prayed in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people that are really upset when you talk about Jesus. And if you talk about it very much, they're going to be upset with you. Praise the Lord. Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief shall befall him. But the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. You remember this Joseph? They hated him because he was good. And he wouldn't let them cheat his daddy. He didn't let anybody cheat the guy that bought him as a slave. He didn't let anything go wrong down in the jail. It was just his character that this guy was going to be solid and honest and right. And so he didn't go along with the brethren. And you know that always causes a problem if you're going to be the tattletale. Well, you're in trouble. Now you may be doing the right thing by tattling. But who likes a tattletale? Most of the kids don't, at any rate. The parents might like it quite a bit to have a little ear in on some things. But at any rate, he was not loved because he told them his dreams. Now, I've thought about that quite a bit. I do really love the story of Joseph. And there's more chapters of the Bible about Joseph and his life and his ministry than there are a whole lot of people. And you find no sin in him anywhere. And God lists the sins of his great men. You notice that? Yeah, he lists Moses' sins. He'll list Abraham's and Jacob's and whatever. But there's nothing like that said about this guy, Joseph. At any rate, he told his brethren, I had this dream. Now, he's a 17-year-old kid. He said, I had this dream. And you know what? All of y'all bowed down before me. Now, wouldn't that make you happy with your brother? You all, I'm going to be running all of y'all. I know I'm not the firstborn, but tough luck. You know what God showed me in a dream? You all are going to come and bow down to me. I love this little passage right here. Look what we just read. Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. That's number one. You know, probably these sons of Jacob all had full beards. I don't remember any pictures of Egyptians with beards. They're pretty clean shaven, a lot of them. They might not have had a hard time recognizing Joseph. Of course, now he's 13 years older. He's been through a lot of tough times. There might be some scar tissue around there. There might be some roughness. But I think he was probably clean shaven, dressed as an Egyptian, and would not be recognizable to them. They did not recognize him. But those 10 guys bowed down to the earth, put their face on the earth, in front of him. Hey, that's the fulfillment. I can just hear Joseph's gears are grinding. Whoa, do I remember 13 years ago I had a dream about this, that my brothers were going to bow down before me. Wow, here it comes. You know, famines come in all lives. God is not fair. And some of you are complaining this week because God has not treated you fair. What does that mean? That everybody gets the same chance. We weren't born equal. We're not even equal before the law. Rich people have a great big advantage. If you know some very rich lawyers, you have a great advantage. If you can afford them. We're not all equal. Some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us are fat, some of us are skinny. Some of us are really good looking, and some of us, bless our hearts. You understand what I'm saying? Well, now you can be mad all your life at God because he didn't make you Tom Selleck. Or Marilyn Monroe. Or whoever. Whatever today. It's not going to help you much because there's 7 billion of us. And about 7 billion have died. So that's about 14 billion people since Adam up to about us. They're all different. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how we can be all different. Do you? Does that blow your mind? It blows my mind. We are all different. Out of 14 billion people, we're all different. Even twins are different. I've had kids in my class, twins in my class, in the same class. I couldn't tell one from the other. My sister married a twin. And when I first went up to visit with him in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, his brother could walk in or he could walk in. I didn't know which one was my brother-in-law. I was 17. They looked alike, but they were different. God has no way of being fair. And you don't have any right to expect it. You got in this life, and you're going to run through circumstances in this life, and it may not be what your neighbor has or your brother has. Some of us are going to die as kids. Some of us are going to die as teenagers. Some of us are going to die at 20 and 30 and 40. I remember when my friend took my truck and blew up on it in Roswell, New Mexico. That hit my mind. Until that time, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. That's the way I thought. I didn't think I was just going to die young, you know. And here's my 20-year-old buddy, takes my truck, goes out, and gets blown up and dies. When you woke me up, 20-year-olds can die. I can die. If that had been me, I'd have probably done the same thing he did, because we ran together, we did things together. We'd have probably done it the same way. And I might have died. And where would I be if I died? Well, I'd have been in hell. I tell you the truth. I didn't want to go to hell. You know what caught my attention? I was afraid of hell. I believed the Bible, what little I knew of it. I believed there was a heaven. I believed there was a hell. Now, I sort of thought I had the idea that God would take the upper half, the better half of the earth up to heaven. I had no idea about the gospel, as much preaching as I'd heard. Good people go to heaven, don't they? That's not what it says. You see, there's no good people. Somebody may look like they are so much prettier than you and you think they've just got a much better life. That's not necessarily so. That is not so. You may think some of these rich people have such a much better life than you, and you want that riches and that stuff like that. Do you realize how many rich people commit suicide? Do you realize how bored they are with life? They can't enjoy what you enjoy. They've got everything. They've got all, anything they can buy. They can have a 10,000 square foot house. And you're just as bored in a 10,000 square foot house as you are as an apartment. Yeah, it's the truth. God didn't make us all alike, and God is not fair. Now, what is God? God is truthful and he's just. And he gave you a special body and a special mind and special circumstances nobody else had. And he says, live for me in it. Show me that you can live for me in it. Now, what about the brothers? We got 12 brothers. Only one is sold as a slave. Only one is thrown in prison. Only one lost 13 years of his life being a slave and a prisoner. Only one. Out of the 12 brethren, just one. And according to everything I read, it was the best one. And he had these 13 years. When you're 17, you wait till you're 30. And when you're 30, all of a sudden, God works circumstances and in one day sets you over Egypt, the biggest country in the world. Can you imagine? You think he was prepared for it? I think he was. I think what he went through prepared him to be able to handle that country. Make the decisions that he made. Do what he did. Buy everything for the Pharaoh. Make him rich. Get Joseph on your side. You got something. Life's not fair. And that's another reason. And every time I read Joseph, I go back to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Do you know what that is? Well, man, you ought to mark it in your Bible and you ought to believe it. And it would get you up on, some of you are spending your days down and you don't need to be down. You're spending your days feeling sorry for yourself. You're spending your days looking at somebody else, wishing I had that other thing. Don't drive a Camaro by Roland. He will just get all upset. He won't sleep at night thinking he didn't have that Camaro and you got that Camaro and he don't have that Camaro. I think all of his brothers and brother-in-laws too, they all drive Camaros. He's a rich Puerto Rican. I lie a lot, okay? God is working everything in your life according to his plan. Now, has he told you what his plan for your life is? Probably not. You just got to trust him by faith. I remember, I think one of the greatest things that God ever did for me was calling me to preach. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's a comfort. I'm not worried, do I have the wrong job? Am I in the wrong town? Did I marry the wrong girl? Did I have the wrong kids? No. I think it all worked out perfect. Not that I'm perfect or any of my kids are perfect. I could improve every one of them if they'd just listen to me. But they won't. Neither will yours listen to you. Get over it. You're not running things. God is. And God is taking your life and bouncing it off of others as you go through life. And some of them you can be an influence on. Some of them you can change. Just like Joseph. He's down in the prison. These guys, the butler and the baker for Pharaoh, get thrown in prison. Pharaoh doesn't know which one of them is the crook or whatever, but he hangs one and restores the other. Well, they forgot him. Then you come on down a little further down, and Pharaoh has a dream, and can you imagine? Here's a dream that nobody could interpret. I think of all the shyster palm readers we got in this town, somebody would give you an interpretation. But they didn't. God shut their mouths. And the butler says, my sins come upon me. There was a guy in jail. What? A guy down there in the prison. He interpreted our dreams and they came out both just as he said. They had to give him a bath. They had to get him some clothes. They had to shave his face. They had to comb his hair. He'd been in prison and a slave like for 13 years. And they get him ready for one day, and he walks up there. Pharaoh says, I'm going to tell you this. And he says, it's this and this and this and this. Going to be a famine for 7 years. Going to have plenty for 7 years. Then 7 years of famine. Here's what you need to do. Put somebody over it that has enough sense to handle it. And who could I find with better sense? Hey, you doing anything lately? Have you got a big job that you want to take on? You can't handle this? Otherwise, why don't you run Egypt? Boy, that's Romans 8:28 at work. And it's so much that we can see it. Now, you don't see it in your life so much. You don't think about the big thing. And you don't see God's plans. You might be doing something for God and not know it. You think Job knew what was happening to him? I don't. I don't think Job had a clue. Satan go walking around. God points Job out. God says, oh, yeah, have you considered my servant Job? Is that fair? That was not fair. But Job got pointed out by God to Satan. Why didn't he point somebody else out? No, he pointed Job out. That was Job's purpose in life. I don't want Job's problems. No. I'm thankful all my kids are alive. I don't want the problems that things like that bring about. But Job had to do it. God needed the testimony of Job for you. You know what I can do? I don't feel sorry for myself much. I honestly don't. I sometimes get bored. But I wish I had the energy I used to have. I don't. But I don't feel sorry for myself much. I feel like I have been super blessed. And I'm just really thankful that I didn't have the work Job had to have. See, it's not fair, is it? Not fair that Job should lose his 10 children and my 5 still be alive. That's not fair. But what was God doing? God was doing something. What is God doing in somebody else's life? Maybe one of your kids. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe a brother in the church, sister in the church. Maybe one of your kids. You know what? God doesn't reveal everything to us. You know what He reveals to us in this Bible? The beginning and the end. Other than that, there's just principles and lives, and you see how God worked in somebody's life somewhere. Have you ever thought that maybe your life might be worth helping somebody else's life? That God might think your life could be a blessing to somebody else, and He puts you through something that you don't understand? You don't think that can happen? Well, it's in the Bible. We see how He's handled different people. What are you here for? Well, you're here for somebody else. You're here for God, and you're here for somebody else. We got 7 billion people in the world, and a bunch of them are depressed. A bunch of them are hungry. A bunch of them are stupid. A bunch of them don't know about heaven or hell. They don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know about the Savior of the world. They don't know they ought to trust God. Maybe God put you through whatever He put you through to make you a better person to touch somebody else down the line. And how many people do you have to touch? I don't know. What about the guy that led me? Well, he didn't really lead me to the Lord, but he witnessed to me and encouraged me, got me to go to church, and I got saved. He brought a preacher to my house, and I got saved. Well, I've won a lot of people to the Lord. I've preached in several countries, and I'm still preaching. Over 50 years. Good night. Wonderful thing. Well, I needed him. I needed this shy guy to be living next door to me. And this shy guy to say, I got saved. Will you come to church with me? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll go encourage him. And then I get saved. And my life changes. You know, I'm still enjoying life. I'm still enjoying life. And praise God, today I don't hurt. Don't have any pain. Don't have much brains, but don't have any pain. They come and bow down because God had prophesied that to a 17-year-old boy. God gave him a dream, and God let him know what that dream was. His dream was, you guys are going to bow down to me. And here we have it. The dream is fulfilled. 13 years later, after slavery, after beatings probably, after prison, and then even after being restored to be the head, the prime minister of Egypt, the absolute ruler, nobody could counter his word except Pharaoh himself, and Pharaoh wouldn't do it. How about that? You talk about getting raised up, and here are these brothers. I wonder if the brothers thought about this. Now, they were told a story. That's what upset them. Here's, you mean my younger brother over here is going to be favored by God, going to rule over me? Yeah, it might be the best thing for you. Maybe what you think it ought to happen, not the best thing for you. Some of you, have you lived long enough to know that sometimes you think something's best and it's not? It's not. You're mistaken. You're not as smart as you think you are. Most teenagers think they're smarter than their parents. They really do. And the truth is, they're not. Oh, they can learn some things quickly. They can do a lot of things that the parents couldn't care less about learning. But they're not smart enough to look down the road and say, this will cost me. I had a dad that would tell me over and over and over again, if you make this kind of decision, this will probably be the result. If you make this other decision, this will probably be the result. Do what you want. You know what I learned? What I did had consequences. What I did had consequences. And here are these guys, and they're right in front of Joseph, and they don't know it. He's speaking Egyptian to them. He doesn't let them know that he speaks Hebrew. He's speaking Egyptian to them. Wow. I'll tell you something else. Do you know that God is watching? You never hide anything from God. Now, this is something that I'm amazed. I'm amazed that grown men and women think they can hide their adulteries, fornication, stealing, all sorts of things. And they act like there's no God in heaven watching them. Well, there is a God in heaven watching you every day. You don't get any days off. God sees you every day. God knows the thoughts you think that don't even come out of your mouth. You ought to be careful. These fellows right here bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? They said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Excuse me. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. That's something. He's changed so much. He's grown up, become a man. I have students that I taught years ago. And they're grown up and they've changed. They don't look like they used to look. If I'd have even remembered them from the time, you know. About 4,000 students, I guess. And, hey, they come up and say, aren't you Mr. Kincaid? Didn't you teach English? Didn't you teach history? Yeah, I did. Well, I went to your class. I was there. Wow, you know. This old face hasn't changed much. They can actually recognize me. But they've changed so much, I have no clue who they are. Well, what do you think 13 years did to Joseph's face? What he went through, Did you know a whole lot of your things you go through, you get lines on your face, you get a look out of your face, people can look at you. You ever wonder how these aduanas, these customs officials at barters, can just pick you out when you got something that you shouldn't have? They're used to reading faces. I think some of them are really good at reading faces, you know. They'll pick you out. Well, they didn't recognize him. They knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams. Wow. Which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies. Here's his chance. Now, would you have a little payback? Would you get a little payback if you got this chance? Oh, I'd get payback. I love payback. It's so much fun. He's going to get some payback. You're spies. You come in here to spy out the land. No. We're good men. We're honest men. And they don't know it's him. It's so funny. I think it's one of the best stories in the Bible. Actually, it's just a great, great, great story. Joseph remembered the dreams, and he said unto them, ye are spies, and you come to see the nakedness of the land. Well, that's what spies would be doing. You reckon Alexander the Great and his armies ever sent spies in dressed like common people to see what the defenses were and how the army was and what the food was? Sure. Sure, they've always been spies. Remember when they came out of Egypt? Moses sent spies through the land, sent 12 spies through the land. They're going to look at them and they're going to get their opinion. And you remember some of those spies said, oh, these guys are giants. Giants in the land. We can't take it. But there was a couple of guys, old Joshua and Caleb, that said, no big deal. God be for us. And they got to take it. 40 years later, they did take it. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said, ye are spies. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food of thy servants, come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. He said to them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. They said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, you're spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward, that's prison, 3 days. These guys are scratching their heads. Why is this happening to me? You ever said that? Well, you better not say that. You might have to look back in your life and say, there's a reason this is happening to me. Because there's a God in heaven, and God wants to teach us sometimes that things do come back on us. I don't believe in karma. I believe in God. But I believe God judges everything we do, and I believe God wants to teach us some things. He's been teaching me for a lot of years, and I'm still learning. You would think after 5 or 10 years, you'd say, okay, now you're through. No, I'm not through yet. You through? You through yet? No, you're not. You're still alive. God's still working on you. Praise God. So what he does, he brings them back, puts them in Joseph's care. And Joseph says, you're spies. Now, there's a good reason for him doing this. They did him pretty dirty. He probably wonders how they treat Benjamin. He probably wonders how they'll treat each other. Wouldn't you wonder? I would. If my brothers had done to me what they did to him, I certainly would think, well, I wonder if they're still doing that. Now, the thing of it is, these guys have grown up some. They've gotten mature, and they've gotten more thoughtful. They've seen their daddy mourn for years. For 13 years, their daddy has mourned the loss of Joseph and the loss of his wife, Rachel. And now then they care, and we're going to see it a little bit later in the story, but they care about the feelings of their dad. So, you know, they've done some growing up. He put them in ward 3 days. Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. Now, I don't know about you. I've only been in jail to preach to it. I've been in prison to preach to them, visiting. And I've been in jails across the country preaching to them. Used to, we could get in very easily, any preacher. They've got it all closed up so much now that you can't do too much anymore. They've closed it down. But used to, I had a nice captive audience, 25 or 30 drunks. I'd just go in and preach. They'd invite you in, whatever, and you had a pretty decent time. You had an opportunity to tell somebody how to be saved. Well, these guys have been in prison 3 days. You know what? 3 days is a long time. It doesn't sound like a long time, does it? Not 13 years. But 3 days, day and night, 24 hours a day in prison? Do you know they don't treat you too nice in prison? They don't talk to you too nice either. You think about what these guys are thinking about. All we did was come down here with our good money in our pocket, and all we wanted to do was buy food. What in the world are we doing in prison? Well, there were some thoughts. There were some thoughts. Joseph has given them an opportunity to think a little bit. And so he said he put them in together in the ward 3 days. And then he said, if you be true men, verse 19, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. They agreed to that. They agreed that one of the 10 would stay in prison, and that the rest would go and take the food and come back later for more food. And they did so. They agreed to it. Verse 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Joseph's understanding everything. He remembers the Hebrew. He remembers when they're talking. And he had to turn away from them because it tore his heart out when they were talking about it. Don't you remember the anguish of his soul? He never forgot that. You don't go through an anguish like that and then forget it. I don't care if it's forgiven. I don't care if you dealt with it, whatever. It's still back there. It's a part of you. It's a part of what makes you you. The experiences that you've had. Don't you remember the anguish of his soul when he said, no, don't do me this way. Oh, Joseph remembered that. The brothers remembered that. We're verily guilty concerning our brother. Man, the chickens have come home to roost. Wow. God has said, remember? Remember, fellas? Do you know what you did? Do you remember what you did? Do you remember how you acted? Do you remember him crying? Do you remember begging you? Don't sell me as a slave. Don't do this to me. You know why he did that? Because he didn't know what God was doing. Anybody want to volunteer to take up the next situation like Joseph? I don't. I don't want to volunteer to be a slave and a prisoner for 13 years. I know, God, you got big plans, but man, I'm selfish enough. I don't want that to come to my life. Neither did Joseph. He didn't voluntarily go. It was forced on him. And here's his brothers. We deserve this. We deserve it. Only 3 days? It's a lot more than that, fellas. A lot more than the 3 days. But you deserve it. Yeah. Joseph is going to be testing his brothers for the next few chapters. Hey, I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Remember, unfairness comes in all of our lives. And famines come in all lives. If you've never been through one, hang on. You're going to go through one of these days. It may be different, but bless your heart, that's the way life is. And it's how you react to your life and the circumstances of your life that make a difference to God. God bless you.